and I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
A lovely day.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Friday, May 3rd, 2019.
That's when you guys are supposed to cheer.
Yeah, please.
Welcome to Justice and Drew. Big show on tap for you today. We have, of course, the Friday Roundtable coming in. Max Reimer, Corey Adam, they will be your participants, along with producer Sam Sansevier in the Friday News Quiz, happening at 8:35 this morning.
Yeah, Representative Tom Emmer calling in right around 7:20, and also our adopted senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, will be calling in right around 8:20. A20 as well, and just because I'm in a mood, we're going to talk measles again at some point in time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, because I'm in a mood.
What did we do?
Because I'm in a mood.
What happened?
Yeah, I'm in a mood. I love being shamed first thing in the morning. That's the best.
Weird flex, but okay.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, did you see the tweet?
I did not see that
tweet. All right, so I got here this morning. I'm in a fairly good mood. We'll talk about what...
Fairly good mood.
We'll talk about what transpired. There's a lot of things transpired yesterday, so yeah. We'll sprinkle that in like the little sprinkles on top of a donut throughout the show today. So
it's just the way that you like donuts are good, but the way that you just said donut makes it sound bad.
Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily meaning to make it sound bad, but donuts are fattening, so I mean they taste good, but ultimately they're not very healthy for you. So you know, I got here this morning, and I just on time, I got my headphones in, just trying to just truck along, and it was a long day yesterday. And I get into the break room. If you go on Twitter, use the hashtag DZNT. I get into the break room, and the first thing I notice is there's this tray. There's a tray next to the coffee machines, right? Okay, and on this tray are a whole bunch of coffee mugs, like to the point like it really caught my eye. I was like, wow, there's a whole bunch of coffee mugs here. Like, they were all, like, sort of arranged on this tray. Like, somebody, took special care to put them on. That's interesting.
Oh, boy. I think I just found the tweet.
Right. So, I go...
Oh, my.
I go to make my coffee, and we have two... And I'm going to get into all this. So we have two coffee. We used to have the big crafts. We used to have the big, like, industrial-sized ones. And yeah. Then they replaced them.
Fill it up.
And yeah.
You can bring it in the studio here, and you didn't have to make treks back and forth to the break room.
Now we have these ridiculous single serving packet ones. There's two machines.
It's
and
kind of
we
like...
might as well be working in the depths of a coal mine now.
right. But you had to
really bad. Just, you...
But the single
these conditions are just unacceptable.
The single serving packets are supposed to
it's
be
like
recycled.
A really fancy Keurig.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be recycled. That was the whole point. The whole point of these new machines was that these little single serving packets of these different flavors. Yeah, you didn't know this?
No, I've been throwing them in the garbage.
The thing. So here's
everybody
the deal.
Does.
So here's the deal. So when we got them, I found out that was the whole reason why they got rid of the industrial ones that we could bring into studio and keep them the whole show.
You mean the industrial ones that had no waste?
Right. So over the, I don't know, they've been there for what, like a year and a half now, right?
Something like these machines.
We have two machines. And subsequently, nobody recycles. Like, I don't even know how to recycle them. Oftentimes, I'll come in and the machine will tell you it's full.
Yeah.
The only solution you have is to pull it out and just dump all. Nobody recycles them.
No.
Okay. Right.
They kind of look, I mean, if you need a visual of like what we're talking about, they kind of look like the little squeezy packets of like applesauce that
right.
people give their kids now, where it's a little square and it has like the little plastic cap on top. That's what it looks like, but it's like ground up coffee.
Right.
You put it in there and then it makes your coffee.
And then it fills up in the machine. You pull the tray out and you're supposed to recycle them. And apparently the company is supposed to come by and grab these and then reuse them and put coffee back in them and then bring them back. But nobody ever, like Drew said, nobody ever...
There's no system for it. We weren't told what to do.
No, whatever.
Like, I think the only reason that we even know that they're recyclable is because I think that you found that out
right.
from somebody.
Right.
I don't even know who.
Because I was up in arms over the other ones because I don't like change. So I come in the morning and you have to preheat the machines. So often what I'll do is when I walk in, if both machines have not been turned on, I will turn both of them on out of courtesy in case somebody walks in while I am making coffee and they need to make coffee and I don't have to wait.
What a gentleman.
I know, I try. So I go to make my coffee and there's a note right behind the coffee machine underneath the little light. And it says this. It says, but styrofoam? This type of foam is no friend of the environment. It can be easily recycled. It absorbs toxins and can be hard to clean up because it can break into little pieces, meaning animals can eat it, potentially making its way up the food chain to people. What animals are... It doesn't matter. So...
Is my bacon eating my styrofoam?
Right.
Styrofoam in your bacon?
Yeah, I don't know. Ooh. So the last line on this, bet that coffee you're drinking in that styrofoam cup doesn't taste so good anymore.
Mm.
And then it says,
sick burn.
B-Y-O-M, bring your own mug. And that note is plastered in front of the tray filled with styrofoam cups.
Yeah.
Also, it's very formatted. It's formatted in a very annoying way, which doesn't help.
Shaming people. All you've done now is made me want to go in there and just, I want to break up the styrofoam cups and put them in the machine now.
Feed them to Sam.
And feed them. Yeah. I want to feed the pigeons on the roof the styrofoam cups. I'm so annoyed by this.
I'm going to go live trap some pigeons, bring them inside, and then feed them styrofoam.
If you don't want to use the cups, man, cool. And I don't think this was a company thing. This sounds like an individual did this, in my opinion. If you don't want to use cups, then you know what? There's a huge box that's about as big as you, Sam, in the break room, filled with styrofoam. Like, you could fit in the box that houses all the styrofoam cups, because I often refill the tray because nobody else does. Like, if you don't want to use a styrofoam cup, then don't use a styrofoam cup. But don't throw up a note there and shame me. My mug is too tall. I'm not going to get another one. Not to mention the fact that we're not supposed to be using those cups in the studios because they spill. So you're supposed to, we're supposed to have like closed lidded mugs. Right?
There are no lidded mugs that fit in that coffee machine.
No.
You have to use the styrofoam
right.
to pour into your lidded mug.
Don't shame me.
I know, just stop. Look, if it's a big deal, you know, and if they decide, then just don't put styrofoam cups out. If you don't want to using styrofoam cups, don't put them out.
Yeah,
don't put them out and then put a sign going, you really shouldn't use these. Well, what the hell are they there for?
Bet that coffee doesn't taste so good anymore. No, it tastes delicious. Thank you.
It's even better now.
Yeah, I ate a styrofoam cup and it was great too because I soaked it in coffee.
I actually dipped my styrofoam in my coffee.
By the way, what cracks me up is that as I turn to walk out, right? What's a bigger concern, the styrofoam cups or the open stick of butter that has been sitting on top of the microwave for 3 days?
Oh.
There's an open stick of butter in there that's just been sitting there open on top of the microwave for 3 days.
I just don't understand. This must be like some random coworker employee here must have just threw up this note, because if it was actually something from management, I feel like they would have just pulled the styrofoam cups.
Yeah, just do that. Just own it, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Somebody read an article. That's what
happened. They're like, did you know that styrofoam is bad for the environment? Oh my gosh.
Styrofoam death.
I wonder if that sign is still up by the end of the show. If it was like put up by management or something, and if they're listening, then you know what? Great sign, guys.
Yeah, it's fantastic really, sign. It's the best. Yeah, thanks for shaming me. That's great management skills.
But, I love being shamed.
You know, good for you. But it, like, if it was some like overnight board op, it's just like, I'm going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Sign's going down.
Yeah, I don't know how they typed that sign with their pinkies firmly planted up. I read that article, and this is killing America. I'm going to save our staff.
Save the turtles.
Like, I would have had somewhat of respect if the person actually went and removed all those styrofoam cups.
Yeah,
like they just owned it. Just go full activist on.
Well,
that seems for it.
Like the appropriate thing to do if
like they put this sign up right behind the stack of styrofoam cups.
There's like 100 of them there. Okay, scouring.
Yeah,
I'm 103.5.
The styrofoam shaming note in the Twin Cities News Talk break room is going viral online. And
is it?
Yeah, some people have. I think you commented on it, I did it too. They're like, well, the base should come out. You can fit taller mugs. Nah, my mug is still too tall. I've tried to fit it underneath not use the styrofoam cup. So if you want to see the note, you can go on to use Twitter and use the hashtag
BYOM.
Yeah.
BYOM.
Yeah, bring your own. Yeah. It was BYOS is bring your own smug. I think I'm going to go in there during the next break and write that underneath it. Ooh, yeah, we should leave notes on it. That'd be great. And, but it does taste good. I've actually put styrofoam in my coffee cup. Wow.
I use styrofoam instead of a non-dairy creamer.
I'm really...
I actually like to cream my styrofoam. I just blend it up.
Well, I was already in kind of a bad way. We're going to get to Sam's top five, but we did this, and we can talk about this a little bit more later on, but we did this... I don't know. Would you say it was a team-building thing? Is that was the intention, or was it supposed to really be an employee party thing? A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
We went with...
All-employee party gathering, and it was at this place that where you recreate and replay sort of your classic game shows, your Family Feud, your Wheel of Fortune.
That's my favorite.
I had a blast.
It's my favorite thing. I love doing that.
I thought it was fun. I enjoyed spending time with you guys.
No, I enjoyed...
You guys got to spend a lot of
time. Yeah, we weren't on the same team with Drew.
I was on the winning team.
Yeah. Which that made it even worse because... So Sam and I are on the same team, so that's cool. But then Drew's on a different team, and so that wasn't cool. And then it made it doubly worse because then you turned into Mr. Competitive Boy.
In his defense. Yeah. I mean, not in his defense.
Right.
But I mean... I could never.
Oh, did you start? I didn't catch you. Okay, I didn't hear you starting.
I mean, just kidding. It was all Drew.
Okay, well.
Drew's the one.
She was giving me snide remarks on the way in. She's, I hope you guys lose.
Okay. That's the nice way to put it. Way to go, Sam.
So then you brought out the worst in Drew, because then he said, I could care. I do not care either way. And I don't mind speaking in front of crowds, but I don't like doing board games. I don't like doing competitions. It's just not my deal. I don't find enjoyment in it. I get really, it's really awkward and uncomfortable for me. And of course, like the two times that I had to go and submit my answer to a thing, I was wrong both times.
Aww.
And then at the end, when I tried to go and just drop a puck down a board with little spikes on it to have it fall into
something. What is that, like Plinko?
You left before
something?
Plinko.
Yeah.
The final round is a game of Plinko. Complete random game of chance. And of course, and I'm watching John go up and I'm thinking to myself, man, I hope it, goes in a good score for him, because I know he's already dreading this whole experience. So I watch him go up there and he climbs up to the top and he drops his puck and it bounces off of one of the
posts. It fell completely off.
Flies off the board.
I was the first one.
No!
I was the first one that it completely, of course it did. I got both of my things wrong and my stupid puck can't even do it. It's go to the where it's supposed to go.
I got my
question. Oh, and then it went into the hole. They didn't even land. And then it went into no points.
Yeah, he got 0 points.
Yeah, I suck.
Oh,
yeah, it was awful.
Well, both times I guessed, I got it right.
Yeah, I know you did great. I've never seen you so excited in my entire life since we met.
Yeah, Sam was there was wheel. It was a takeoff on Wheel of Fortune. They put a phrase up there, and they gave a hint. And Sam nailed it. No letters revealed, nothing. Just was like, boom, I got it.
It was an emoji of like two people.
Yeah. The hint was an emoji. And she nailed it and got it right. And I've never seen such pure joy and ecstasy.
You
one person
jumped so high.
Unbelievable. It was like, she won the Stanley Cup all by herself.
Yeah, man, she just leaped.
She was...
It was that if you see
pure happiness and joy and ecstasy all wrapped up in a little ball of Sam.
Everybody has seen
it. Was so fun.
Everybody has seen the Seinfeld gif of Elaine walking into Jerry's apartment and she's tapping her feet with her. That's what Sam looked like.
Yeah.
That's exactly what, like, more excited.
Yes.
I was happy for you.
Thank you.
I got the one question I got wrong as well.
Yeah.
And it should have been up there. So it's Family Feud. It's like survey says. So, name a famous captain.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to mind was Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got a.
I was
down.
Yeah, whatever.
Captain America wasn't up there. Captain Jack Sparrow was.
I would have guessed Captain Jack Sparrow, but I was kind of surprised that Captain Kirk was up there.
Pinkies up.
That's right. I would have guessed, I wouldn't have guessed. I think that Captain Kirk was like number one or number two.
Yeah,
Kirk was up there.
There was a lot of shenanigans going on. Then we had a whole debate going on whether or not The Office was a sitcom.
Really?
Yeah.
We did.
One of the things was famous TV sitcoms, and so we were mentioning, I think, Sam, you said The Office, and then Sam turns around and she goes, they told me this is not a sitcom. I'm like, what is it?
I had like five people, I was like, The Office, and I had like five people on our team go like, that's not a sitcom, and I was like, whoa. That's aggressive.
Jeez. Settle down. It's
like, well, okay. Here's the part that cracked me up. So I'm dreading going to this thing because I don't like doing this type of stuff, right? And so we get there and they bring us into the room and we're going to go and fill out name tags. And I actually got legitimately happy because I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Because I don't know so many people's names in the building.
Right.
Right? I'm like, oh, this is great.
Actually get to know
take advantage of this very awkward situation that I'm in right now, and I can learn the names of these salespeople that I just haven't, you know, had the opportunity to do that because that's not something I do. So then the lady with the microphone in charge goes, okay, everybody, and go and grab a name tag, but you have to write down a name that is not your name. And I'm like, well, thanks, lady.
What's the point of that? But thanks. Like, great team building exercise.
Thanks. Now I know them by all their ridiculous name tag names.
I know that one of our salespeople's names is Squishy Pancakes.
Yes, I know that.
Yes.
That worked out. It worked out great.
Poor guy.
It worked out great. I'm going to go eat some styrofoam.
Do you think that styrofoam goes good with guac?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Let's find out.
Yeah, let's just do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we will jump into Sam's top five.
11:30 and 103.5 FM.
Justice and Drew getting ready to dive into Sam's top five on Fox and Friends this morning. Hard hitting stuff going on Fox and Friends.
Always is.
Yeah, they had a huge group, and Taco Bell was there. And they had all these tacos on the table, and they had they got this promotion going, and there actually was the hashtag, the future of tacos is here, which made me laugh. I'm like, we're making advancement in tacos now. But the thing that stuck out to me, the first thing I thought about was, okay, what do we have in abundance? What does the government have an abundant supply of right now that we're trying to offload by going and selling tacos? Because of that stupid cheese story that we had a couple of months ago, where we've got those billions of pounds of cheese, and that brought the great cheesy revolution for all the fast food. Right? Just go, all right, so is it the meat? Is it the taco shells?
Like, oh,
is it
man, corn? You guys, we got way too many tomatoes.
We got 60 billion tons of pico.
Yeah.
We've got sounds like a dream.
Advancements in tacos. Heaven. That's
funny. This segment of Justice and Drew is powered by our friends over at Early Bird Electric. It is Sam's top five for Friday.
Number one.
The woman that was infatuated with Columbine died the day that she arrived in Colorado. That was before warnings were issued about her. From Fox News, the woman allegedly infatuated with the Columbine massacre, who traveled from Florida and forced schools in Colorado to close after threatening violence last month, had already killed herself when authorities had launched a manhunt for her. The Clear Creek County coroner said in an autopsy summary that Sol Pace, 18 years old, was estimated to have died in the afternoon or early evening of April 15th, which was the same day that she flew from Miami to Denver. According to the coroner's initial findings in the report that was obtained by the Denver Post, it says that the autopsy revealed massive head injuries consistent with a self-inflicted gunshot wound with no other injuries or marks present.
This is going to sound... It's going to sound weird, and I don't mean it I don't mean it to sound like insensitive or anything like that. But when I saw this story, there was almost a moment of relief, because I was a little concerned that, you know, perhaps there were some mental health issues going on with this girl. You could hear that in the comments from her parents when we discussed this earlier, and her infatuation with this Columbine. But in my head, I thought, you know, maybe she didn't go to Colorado with the intent to cause harm. But then all of a sudden, all the media reports are like, watch out, armed gunmen, you know, schools are shutting down. And I thought maybe she saw those reports and had a moment of just a complete breakdown.
Like, how can I come back from this?
Right.
Kind of breakdown.
Right. Yeah. And I was hoping that wasn't the case. And it appears that was not the case.
Yeah, I was under the impression, the way that I thought this was going to play out, I was going to assume that something, I was thinking something similar to what you had said, not knowing whether or not she actually intended to do harm. It certainly seemed like she was heading that way. My assumption was that it was more of a circumstance of she was there, maybe hadn't made a move yet. They found her And it was in that moment that they ended up killing her. Mm-hmm. Like, this was going to be somewhat... Like, I was expecting there to be potentially some controversy. Like, law enforcement authorities arrived. There was nobody there but law enforcement and her. They would make the claim that she raised a weapon and they took her out, which would have caused all kinds of controversy. This is no less odd, though, to have traveled all that way to have purchased the weapon. I mean, clearly it seems as if just a very disturbed, unfortunately disturbed individual who took their own life. Just a, just a tragic story.
It's a tragic and bizarre story.
Number two.
Nancy Pelosi says that Barr committed a crime by lying to lawmakers.
They're just flailing.
Just stop.
They're just flailing.
Just stop.
From the Hill, Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday said Attorney General William Barr committed a crime by lying to lawmakers during his testimony on Capitol Hill. She said during a press conference in the Capitol, what is deadly serious about it is the Attorney General of the United States of America was not telling the truth to the Congress of the United States. That's a crime. The remarks came as Democrats on Capitol Hill are increasingly lashing out at Barr for his handling of special counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russia's election interference. Some lawmakers are pressing for Barr to resign. Others have floated the idea of impeachment. And still others are weighing whether to bring contempt of Congress charges against the Attorney General, who refused an invitation to testify before the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. And who can blame him? Nancy Pelosi, for her part, declined to say how or if Democrats would challenge Barr's actions, deferring those decisions to the committee heads. But she did strongly suggest some response is forthcoming.
Well, and according to CNBC, and the Justice Department immediately responded to that and just said this is a baseless attack. This is reckless, irresponsible, and false. This is there's no validity to what Nancy Pelosi laid claim here. This is ridiculous.
This is what we're resorting to.
Right.
After 2 years, millions of dollars, investigations, Russia hoax, we're resorting to, yeah, but Barr said that he wasn't aware of any reservations from Mueller. And he had gotten a letter.
A letter, so, people.
Yeah.
A letter.
I mean, yeah, he needs to impeach him, I guess, or whatever. This is so dumb. This needs to stop.
And in the meantime, we'll talk about this later on in the show, but there's two different stories. One, where either the CIA or the FBI sent an informant.
FBI.
It was the... Well, there's actually... I read a follow-up story on that. There's actually some discrepancy on whether or not this woman that ended up acting as a campaign advisor for Trump tried to set up Papadopoulos with this meeting asking about Russia.
She was a spy.
Right.
I mean, let's call her what it was.
Right, she was a spy.
She was sent to spy on the Trump campaign by the Obama Justice Department.
On top of that, there's another story about how Hillary Clinton was using the Ukraine to get oppo research on Trump. It's like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Just give
it's
me a break
already. It's all coming
out,
too. It's all coming out. You know, they're getting ahead of it with a lot of these stories, but this is all coming out, and a lot of the flailing that you see by Democrats is being done under the context of they know this is all coming out.
Yep.
Number three.
Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca in the Star Wars films, has passed away at the age of 74. From the Associated Press, Peter Mayhew, the towering actor who donned a huge furry costume to give life to the rugged and beloved character of Chewbacca in the original Star Wars trilogy and two other films, has passed away. He died at his home in North Texas on Tuesday. He was 74 years old, as Chewbacca, known to his friends as Chewie. The 7'3" Mayhew is a fierce warrior with a soft heart, loyal sidekick to Harrison Ford's Han Solo and co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon. Mayhew went on to appear as the Wookiee in the 2005 prequel, Revenge of the Sith, and shared the part in 2015's The Force Awakens with actor, I think, John, I need you to help me.
Jonah Suotomo.
Okay, thank you.
Looks like it should be a soft J.
I think it's I thought it was Jonas.
Well, there's two O's in front of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Unis.
He took over, and Eunice or Jonas or... Sorry.
Oh, I'm sure John's right.
He is Norwegian, so I'm pretty sure he's Norwegian.
Jonas Suotomo.
Or Unas.
Yeah. Who's Unas. Roughly 3 inches shorter than Peter Mayhew is.
Still like 7 feet tall.
And his blood type is O negative.
Took over the role in subsequent films. Ford said in a statement yesterday, Peter Mayhew was a kind and gentle man, possessed of great dignity and noble character. These aspects of his own personality, plus his wit and grace, he brought to Chewbacca. We were partners in film and friends in life for over 30 years, and I loved him. My thoughts are with his dear wife, Angie, and his children. Rest easy, my dear friend.
Yeah, the story goes that when they were casting for A New Hope, and they were looking for tall actors, George Lucas came in, and when he first met Peter Mayhew, he was sitting down, and the moment he stood up, George just said immediately, I think we found him. This came as a huge surprise. There was no talk within the fandom whatsoever that he was dealing with any kind of health issues beyond his legs were giving out because of his age. The work that he did in The Force Awakens was basically sitting scenes and a couple of standing around scenes. The famous scene of the Chewie were home, that was Peter Mayhew. But Jonas had been trained by Peter for quite a long time to take over this role. What I read yesterday after this was he actually lived longer than most individuals of his stature.
Okay.
Yep. That with people that are that tall, there's just
some inherent
issues. Your body can't handle that load, you know, and so that was, I heard that was the reason why he had actually lived on past most people that are actually of that stature. So it's sad, especially you know, on the day before the May 4th Star Wars holiday.
Yeah,
they've actually declared that. California legislature voted yesterday to declare tomorrow Star Wars Day. That's, by the way, side note, and then we'll move on. That's largely due to Disneyland because they're opening up the new Galaxy's Edge, and so California's trying to take advantage of it. Sure. So, but I think the whole country should do it, to be
pretty honest. Pretty impressive though to have a successful, like, become a global celebrity, successful acting career in a role that nobody ever saw his face,
right?
And he never uttered a word,
right?
That's really cool.
Well, and he trained his replacement. He trained Suetomo very specifically to mimic his natural walking habits so that he looked like Chewie. He walks a little bow-legged, and how he used his hands. And yeah, but it was a big shock for the Star Wars fandom because nobody saw it coming.
Number four.
Covington kid Nick Sandman is suing NBC and MSNBC for $275 million.
That's when you guys are supposed to cheer.
You go, dude. Get all the money you can,
so
man.
So much mileage out of that.
Good. He should. From PJ Media, lawyers for Covington Catholic High School student Nicholas Sandman on Wednesday filed a lawsuit against NBC Universal seeking $275 million for false and defamatory media coverage related to the viral incident that happened in Washington, D.C. following the March for Life in January. Sandman's attorney, L. Lynn Wood, announced on Twitter today, Nicholas Sandman sued NBC and MSNBC for defamation in federal court in Kentucky, seeking accountability for false accusations. Nicholas did not instigate a hate crime or engage in racist conduct.
I don't think he's going to have a very easy time getting all the money that he's suing for, because mm-hmm. it's not, I don't believe NBC is the only entity that he's filing suit.
I think he also, what was it? He sued, was it the Wall Street Journal for one of them.
Yeah.
He was suing them for the value that it had been bought for, which I thought was pretty great.
But I support this lawsuit. I encourage this lawsuit because the media were wildly irresponsible in the way that they covered this story. And when you factor, even adding on to that, factoring in that this is a teenager who did nothing wrong, not a public figure, and they blasted his image and his name all over the world and made the absolute worst assumptions about him simply because of the hat he was wearing. And this type of thing had the potential to define and destroy the rest of this kid's life.
This is a settlement that we talked a lot about this yesterday in the Mohammed Noor trial and the $50 million for the civil lawsuit the family was seeking. This $275 million I can absolutely get behind. You want to go and stick it to the media, then tag them and get as much money from them as possible. I hope they fight this thing and I hope it goes all the way up. I really do. I hope that the networks challenge him and that it ends up moving through the courts so we can get a definitive answer on something like this. Because it's the only way that it's going to get the media to change.
Yeah.
Because this was reckless and irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And I hope for his sake he gets the money, but I hope that they stick it to these media outlets so they actually go and learn their lesson and maybe get back to doing, you know, that journalism thing that we talk about so often.
This is the only way. I mean, you gotta inflict pain. I mean, you have to hurt them in order to get them to change. I'm not confident that they're going to change.
Right.
Because they're so reactionary and they're so quick to jump on anything that starts to become trending on Twitter or trending on social media. They're going to jump right on board with it because they're lazy and they're irresponsible. But the only way to possibly get that change is to inflict this kind of pain.
Yep.
We got one more item to get to in Sam's Top 5. Plus, we have the roundtable, Max Reimer and Corey Adam joining us in the next.